Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Chuck on the Twitch, no one even noticed he was there until he got hurt. Does that make it better?
To say it doesn't matter.
Does that mean Tank Dell is going to play football again? Like, he's injured. 713-780-3776. I'm getting crushed on Twitter for posting this question. Did the Texans abuse Tank Dell? Because abuse is a strong word. Abuse is a strong word. But you have a 5'10", 150-pound receiver. Not only that, not only is he 5'10", 150 pounds, but he is your most electric offensive weapon. Nico Collins, very good.
Right.
He's not more electric than Tank Dell. Nico might be a better receiver than Tank Dell. Nico might be better receiver than Tank Dell. He's not more electric. You have your most electric wide receiver playmaker blocking in the box whenever he's 5'10", 165 pounds. And I get that it's football. I get that injuries happen. Is Tank Dell 100% absolutely necessary blocking in the box? Can you use a little disguise, a little decoy? Maybe you just run them on a go route, clear a corner. I understand that's tough to do on zone defense. Maybe that makes it a little bit difficult to have counters and play actions where you kind of show that early and then Tank has a double move, which continues the drag, possibly. But is that trade-off of losing that stuff worth the health and safety of Tank Dell? I would argue that the most important thing is the health and safety of Tank Dell.
I think it's the discussion for me is I don't think they abused him. I think they misused him. And I think that it would be interesting to find out.
Isn't that the same, though?
No, abusing is like overwork, and this is putting him in harm's way unnecessarily. Like, every football because I don't know why you're chuckling at
it. I don't know how that's not abuse.
Because I don't think football is a physical sport, right? But you're not abusing him if you have him on jet sweeps, if you have him getting the football to do exactly what you described him to be, an explosive game changer by being a playmaker on your football field. But I think that you misuse him when you're going to use him in all those different ways to be explosive. This was not going to be an explosive play. Mm-hmm. This was not going to be a play where he was going to possibly get a chunk yards for you or break free and do something, you know, big in the passing or running game. This was a play where it was pretty much the way you were lined up, one thing and one thing only. It was going to be a scrum to get 1 yard.
That back dive with Damian Pierce, who runs into his own dudes.
Yeah, so with that being said, I think that was, instead of abuse, that was misuse. That was where he just shouldn't have been on the field for that type of setup.
Well, someone else just texted that it's misuse. Okay, I don't want a Webster's Dictionary. Abuse, used to bad effect or for a bad purpose, misuse.
What, they texted you the definition?
I Googled it. I know how to work the computer.
Well, I didn't say that. So, like, I thought you said someone texted.
No, someone did text yours. Someone texted that it's misuse. Someone also agreed with you that it's misuse, not abuse. The definition of abuse is misuse. Like, so
my thing with the whole Tank Dell situation is that, like, I don't want to take him off the field. Like, I think the idea of, like, removing him from the field in that situation is a mistake because you're just automatically telling the opposing team what's going on. But I would say, I pretty much can guarantee you, if you watch the Miami Dolphins, there's no way Tyreek Hill's doing that. Like, there's no way that Justin Jefferson's doing that in Minnesota. Maybe he's a little bit bigger, but, like,
yeah,
you're
definitely
not putting your wide receivers that are that important and that size in that position. That's where I think it's like, you're right, using him as a decoy.
Do that with Robert Woods. Do that with Noah Brown.
Yeah, that's what they're there for.
Do that with Xavier. Yeah. Well, I know he wasn't active. Don't do that with your most electric little bitty wide receiver.
Yeah. And do you think, like, even, do you think that Zay Flowers is doing that in Baltimore?
I doubt it.
I don't think so.
I don't watch them that closely to know.
Obviously.
So I can't go on record and be like, they don't do it. I don't watch them closely enough to know. Maybe I'll turn on a Miami game from this past week on the All-22 and see if they do that on running
plays. I wasn't expecting you to, like, pinpoint it, but I'm saying that's why I think I tried to describe it for you. I wasn't trying to give you a definition.
I would doubt it.
I think that's what we've been saying all along. You have a roster full of receivers that are over 6'2", 6'3", that are physical, that are big, too. You have other options. Even a John Mechie is a more physically strong version of a Tank Dell. Not obviously as electric, not as fast right now. But the fact of the matter is, you had other options if that's the play you're going to run. And, Joe, if you're not going to change personnel, then I think that the only way that it makes sense is he's a late move in motion, distraction, as opposed to a guy that might get caught in the wash.
Yeah, like I would really like I just going back to Miami. Like I would bet that like when they're in that situation and they're going to give the ball to Mostert or Achan, what you see before the play, I would guess, is Tyreek Hill moving in motion from one side of the field to the other. So that way, if Tua wants to make an audible and go to a pass, he knows if he has man or zone coverage, and Tyreek Hill is moving away from the ball as far as possible. I don't have the – it's not the end-all, be-all. Like, it is an unlucky injury. Like, that is the thing, too. It is not like – this is not a concussion running over the middle, punt return, kick return. It's probably the least avoidable. And even if they do it again, I don't think it's the worst thing you could do. Like, I don't think this needs to be in the tank rules because...
See, I do.
I think so, too.
I'm there. I didn't know where I was until we started this conversation.
Yesterday. I adamantly thought... I went right back to our tank rules and said, that is one right there that is a no-brainer for me. He should not be on the field for that personnel and that setup.
On two fronts. On two fronts. One, like, to Joe's points, like, Joe, you're talking about both sides of your mouth a little bit here. Like, they're not doing this with Tyreek Hill. You're not doing this with probably some of your best little receivers in the NFL. I don't know that for sure, but I'm guessing that. Also, you're not going to do it with little bitty receivers, plus the effectiveness of blocking whenever you're little bitty is not outstanding. It's not great. I am going to add this to the Tank Dell
rules. But don't you think, too, guys, that the fact that if you – that's what I was saying earlier. Like, there's more than one way to skin a cat. So if you move him in motion and he takes the safety out of the play because the safety or someone in that personnel group for the defense has to follow him and pay attention to him, you're essentially doing the same thing as throwing him into the scrum to block the safety to keep the safety off the running back.
Yeah, the other part of this equation, though, and this is where, like, I think, you know, when we did the Yordan rules, part of it was, like, protecting Yordan from himself, like, making sure he did not put himself in harm's way. I'm curious if you gave Bobby Slowick and D'Amico truth serum and were like, is that really where Tank Dell was supposed to end up on that play? Like, I know he's trying to push to the next level and get to a linebacker or safety. But like, is Tank Dell really supposed to be in the middle of that scrum in that situation?
I think he was.
You think so?
I think that was the design. Yeah, you see both receivers kind of coming in. And plus, like, here's a counterpoint. It was the block that led to the touchdown. Like if Tank doesn't make that block, the safety has a chance to make the stop on Damian Pierce before he gets in.
Because he's not the lead blocker, but he's supposed to get the second level. He's supposed to get the safety coming in late, trying to create the havoc. It's just that there's another guy that can do that for you. That's probably a better option because they're bigger and stronger and more physical.
713-780-3776 HRMP listener line. Let's go out there now for Javier. Javier, you're in the Hive with the Bees. What's up?
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. I was listening to y'all last week about Tank Dell and protecting from himself. I definitely agree with y'all that we need to have taken certain precautions. This was one of them. He has no business in the box. Definitely a specialized decoy, but no business in the box. His specialty was definitely his speed. You're right. He's one of the littlest guys on the team. We need to utilize that. It was definitely a case of abuse/misuse. We can, you know, argue about the wording later, but definitely agree with both of y'all. He should not have been in the box. We've lost one of our best offensive weapons for the season. He should not have, he had no business being in there. And like Joe George says, you're not going to put in one of the, like, elite receivers in there to block. They're receivers. They are paid to catch the ball and do explosive plays. They're not paid to, I mean, they're paid to block, but that is not their primary use. So we need to have really looked at why they even put him into that horrific situation. Prayers are with him. You know, he's a special kid. Mm-hmm. We'll get him back next year, but he should never have been in that situation. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate the call, Javier. Look, I'll throw it to you, Joe. I'll take your scenario, but I'll throw it at you guys a different way. True serum right now. If Bobby and D'Amico are sitting in the office talking about it, don't you think that there's a ton of regret that he was on the field for that play?
Yeah,
I would say either regret that he was on the field or regret that he wasn't doing something else. Yes, like, yeah. I don't want to nitpick that. Like, regret that he was either A, on the field, or B, that he's just not running a go and taking a defender with him. Instead of blocking the safety, just take a defender with you as you run a go to the back of the end zone.
Yeah, I think that if they're sitting there talking about it, they're going, you know what? We never should have had him doing that.
Yeah,
and look, Nick Cassero should realize, like, maybe getting tight ends that could block would help in these situations too. Because, like, that's one thing from this game and this season.
Brevin Jordan's a big boy, though, right?
He can't block.
It's a separate conversation. Like, fair. And Brevin Jordan, kind of an undersized tight end, not known for his blocking, no more for his receiving. Dalton Schultz is not known for his blocking, no more for his receiving. That's fair. But the design on this specific play was the running back or the receiver comes in and blocks a safety.
Yeah, I guess my point
is much different than, like, It's two different conversations.
Well, I guess kind of my point is that like you don't have to have Tank Dell in this situation because he might be a better blocker than Brevin Jordan.
You're still getting numbers though. Like that's the point. The receiver being like out wide and the reason he's running into the box is so you gain a number advantage. So you have more hats than they have hats. So this isn't like a wide receiver tight end thing. Now it's a should Tank Dell at 5'10", 150 pounds ever be blocking in the box whenever he's your most electric wide receiver? I think it's 100% fair to criticize this. I was stunned that this was not asked to D'Amico Ryans either A, after the game yesterday, or B, at the press conference today. Like it's the one most critical thing that you can look at whenever you're talking about, you know, yesterday's game. 5912, I don't know if y'all have talked about it, but a Bronco player was pushing their elbow on Tank Dell's leg. I saw that.
Yep.
What did you think of that?
Well, that's what I brought up earlier. I mean, we can't think that everybody is trying to protect their brother, even if they're in a different uniform, because, you know, they're all, you know, on the same team at the end of the day. There are guys that just are, they play football, and they are out there to do whatever they can to catch an advantage and win a football game. And unfortunately, some dudes we've heard about at what happens at the bottom of those scrums, well, you saw it. Because at the bottom of those scrums, whether they're biting or scratching or clawing or trying to do things like that, if you can't take out a quarterback, but you know you're laying on a guy that's an impact player for the other team, some guys are thinking about doing something to make sure he doesn't play.
If you look at another angle of it, though, like he's the guy who tackled Damian Pierce. Like, I don't think that there was anything nefarious about it. Like, to me, he tackled Pierce and he landed on Tank Dell's leg, and he also had an offensive lineman laying on his feet. So, like, where's he supposed to go? Like, that to me, I thought was a massive reach. I didn't pay any attention to that. I don't think it was anything like. I don't think that there was negative motives there. 1185 in all capital letters. No, they should not use Tank Dell that way. 2484. Tank is an unselfish player who do anything to help his team win. As an offensive coordinator, you take that into account. Don't put him in those certain situations. That's the other thing too. That's why when Bobby Slowick 2 weeks ago said that Tank Dell thinks he's Nico Collins, people were like, "Oh yeah, we love that soundbite. Tank Dell, he's so tough." And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, you don't want your 5'8", 150-pounder. Like, you want him to be tough, but you also have to protect a player that thinks that way. Like, on this play, maybe don't tell Tank, hey, like, let's not do that. Or even, like, some of this is on Tank a little bit, too. Like, we talked all offseason after the Texans drafted Tank Dell. Like, hey, you got to be aware that you're not very big. We appreciate your heart, appreciate your toughness, appreciate all of that. Like, the lesson that I hope that Tank Dell learns from this is, you got to protect yourselves because you're so important to this offense.
And that's a business decision, not just for yourself. That's a business decision for your team because you have to keep yourself out of harm's way because of how impactful you are for the long term and the short term of this team's success. And I think as a coach, yeah, you coach them up. Yeah, you teach them things. Yeah, you do things to utilize their best skills and attributes. In this case, one of the other things you have to do as a coach is you've got to keep Tank Dell from Tank Dell. You got to protect him from himself and realize, hey, I know you want to go mix it up with linemen and do whatever you can to help the team, but we can't afford to lose you, so I got to make sure you don't do those things.
5874, protecting Dell is a double-edged sword. If you don't use him in run plays, you're going to know that when he's not in, it's probably going to be a run play. Mostly true. Now, you can run play in disguise, just a pass, and you take a corner with you. It takes a guy out of the play. That you see that all the time. 9243, I think just like Slowick was complicit in the sacks of CJ when he took on play action, he's complicit in Tank's injuries. He has to do better. It's a weird way to use Tank Dell. 713-780-3776. I believe, what did you learn from this college football weekend? Boy, is there news. What do you believe after the weekend that was in college football? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Something you should already believe is that you need to call Hollingsworth Law Firm if you're ever involved in a car accident. You already know that. Tell your friends, though, Hollingsworth Law Firm. Let them know, too, that you do not pay a single dime until you win your case outright.
Yeah, Jeremy, Hollingsworth Law Firm, they're game changers, and they specialize in car wrecks, and that's what you want when you're in a car wreck. Not someone that is a general attorney that does a lot of different things. They do a lot of different things, but they do this better than anybody else. You want them on your side, and you want to be proactive. You don't know when you're going to get in a car accident, but when you do, you need someone that's there with you every step of the way, fighting the insurance companies, fighting for you with the other driver, fighting for what's rightfully yours. And you'd get that with the Hollingsworth Law Firm. They're going to be in your corner. And if you save their phone number and you can reference it when you get in a car wreck, you're already winning because they're going to be there for you every step of the way.
Yeah, put that number in the phone, 713-999-8773. Don't let these insurance companies run all over you. Maybe you've been in a car wreck recently, too. Well, call for a free consultation. Why not do that? 713-999-8773. You can visit them online as well at carwrecktexas.com, carwrecktexas.com.
What's up, boss? You believe that? You hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Oh, no. Do you believe that?
Huh? All right, what do you believe after this college football weekend? We saw the selection committee do its thing. A lot of people feel like they got screwed. We saw the best coach in the coaching carousel sign a deal with the Houston Cougars. Go Cougs. Press conference earlier today. What do you believe, Blankers?
I believe the college football committee got it right. I don't like it, and I know we're going to a different format and everything like that. But having stomached watching that entire Florida State-Louisville game, and I did watch a lot of the Florida State-Florida game, it was tough to watch. And I know it's horrible for the kids. And I know that it is unfair in the fact that, you know, they lost 1.5 quarterbacks, and they could get their backup back at some point. But when you look at it, it's hard to say anything other than the committee is basing this on the fact that past precedents played into this, with the fact that they don't like when the semifinals or there are blowouts in the Final Four, and that money matters, and that I'm sure that they felt it from a pressure from a lot of different directions. And I feel like they did what they felt like they had to do to get the four best teams to give you the four best games.
So you say they got it right. What's your basis of right? What is right based on? Is it because these are the best four? Is it because it's the most entertaining semifinal for television? Is it because they have the best resume? Tell me why you think they're the
best. I think they got it right because they're the four best teams right now.
Okay.
Because of the fact that Florida State can't be the best version of Florida State with that situation at quarterback.
I think a team got screwed on either basis. If you're saying that it's the best four, I think a team has been screwed. If you're saying that it's the best resume, I think a team has been screwed. Let's argue the they got it right because of the best teams. Do you think Georgia would be favored in a game against Michigan?
I think actually, no. I understand.
Okay, you think Michigan will be favored in a game against Georgia? Joe, do you think that too?
No, I think Georgia would have been favored against any team that they played if they were in.
So they were screwed.
I think they were screwed. I think two teams.
There you go. They didn't get it right then.
No, but see, I believe they got it right.
So based on the format that they had to choose from.
What is it, best or is it best resume?
I think because it was four. I think the timing sucks for Georgia. And losing as late as they did. There's no doubt they got screwed.
You just
too.
Threw out best, like you said that they'd be better than anybody. They'd be favorites against anybody. Okay, cool. Then they got screwed if this is the best four.
I think two teams got screwed.
Well, it depends on how you're determining the best. Like if you're going off of resume or how you're defining the four. If you're going off resume, Florida State absolutely got screwed.
Yep.
And if you're going off of resume, maybe Florida State should have lied about the injury of their quarterback Jordan Travis. They should have said it was a high ankle sprain. He's gonna be back by the playoffs. Why not? You're taking care of your own. Are you being selfish? Sure, but you're taking care of your own. If you're going best teams, Georgia's one of the best four teams in the country. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going best resumes, Florida State has one of the top four resumes.
Yes, they do.
Okay, so here's where I think I understand they went undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
However, the four teams that are in the college football playoff, each one of them has a top five victory this season. Michigan beat Ohio State. Washington beat Oregon. Texas beat Alabama.
Okay, so you're using top five at the time they played, which is totally unfair. It should be where they're finished. Like, who cares if a team was ranked three, but they finished 33rd?
Well, but so that they beat Oregon twice, Washington, so
not
Oregon.
In the top five.
So it's a top 10 win.
Okay.
So then Georgia has how many top 10 wins this year?
Probably no. Well, top 10, I'm not sure where Missouri landed. I'm not sure where Ole Miss landed.
It's Missouri is the one. But, like, I think they got it right based on the fact they got the four best conference champions. I think that is what
four
they
best
did
conference
right.
champions. Okay.
Because this is the first time where you had five conference champions that all had a real argument to be in. And it's not the team's fault or the committee's fault that these morons who run these conferences, there's five power conferences. They said only four teams make it. So I think they got it right because they got the four best conference champions.
That's an interesting way to phrase
the final
that.
Four.
The way you phrase that, it's hard to push back because Georgia's not a conference champion. And in terms of best teams,
it's better than me using best.
Because I would agree to what you just said. I would agree with what you just said. Now, if I'm putting my playoff together, I'm going off resume. Because if you're not going off resume, what's the point of even playing football games? Like, if you're the best team in the country, just don't play a game. You have the best roster. They're going to pick you for this Final Four.
So
it's a combination of resume and best. They just won't say that.
They won't.
It really is a combination of resume plus best, some weird algorithm that nobody knows except for these athletic directors that, quite frankly, none of them watch these teams play. Do you think anybody on this committee is watching every single snap of these teams that are contenders? No. So why are they picking the teams?
They shouldn't be.
If this would have happened, here's what I believe. I believe if this would have happened 5 years ago, we'd have already had a 12-team playoff.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing, I believe that based on how I would pick the four teams, I like the way that you phrased it, though, because I can't really have a pushback on that.
Sorry.
I don't like that. It's really well played. I would have had Florida State ahead of Alabama. And I know that's going to tick off a lot of people. I would have had Florida State ahead of Alabama. Florida State won every single one of their games. I don't think the SEC is as good as this year as they've been in the past. What's the SEC's best win? What's the SEC's best when they beat each other?
Exactly.
What did Alabama do against LSU? They won by 14. Good win at home. What did Florida State do against LSU? They smoked them by 21 on a neutral field. What did Alabama do in that Auburn game? Like, everybody, well, Florida State didn't look good against top 20 Louisville, and they held them to under single-digit points. They beat, what was the final, 13-3? I don't even remember. What did Alabama do against a lousy Auburn team? They were a miracle away from losing. A miracle away from losing to an Auburn team that the week before lost to New Mexico State. Alabama has no business being in the Final Four over Florida State. And it is a travesty. They got absolutely screwed. Now, Florida State also got screwed by Georgia. Because if Georgia beats Alabama, then Georgia and Florida State are in the college football semifinal, and Alabama and Texas are out. And Longhorn, whoa, what do you mean? We're going to be out. Well, your win against Alabama now is not as grand, because Alabama now has two losses. They would be probably somewhere between 8th to 10th in the college football final rankings. So Florida State would have been ahead of Texas. Texas should send Christmas cards to Alabama and Nick Saban.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. That's a fact. But when you look at it, the bigger picture is just the fact that finances – And pressure definitely played into it, and they won't admit that, and they don't want to factor that in, but it absolutely did.
Facts. That's 100% true.
And the thing is, too, is like, I understand Florida State won their conference, but it's not a good conference. Like, if you look
at... Neither was the SEC!
But here's the thing.
If you look
at this format that's coming next year, the only team in the top 10 that is not a part of the new Big Ten and the new SEC is Florida State. Washington, Oregon, all these schools, Texas, Oklahoma, they are all part of the Big Ten and the SEC.
Yeah.
The ACC is not a good conference. You know why I know that? Because Florida State told me before week one of the season, they wrote a letter saying, we want out.
This is a weird argument to use for not being invited to the college football invitational. Like, what you're calling the college football invitational now.
Florida State's like, I don't want to be in the ACC anymore.
I mean, Texas did that to the Big 12. Like, they're in. Like, I don't know how Washington did that to the Pac-12, the Pac-2. And
I understand.
Like, I don't understand that
logic.
But,
like, the Florida State's conference is not good. Like, it's just, it's not.
There was the SEC this year.
I agree. I said that. And the SEC's trolls on Twitch tried to tell me I was wrong all week last week.
They just don't have a great win, and all their wins are against each other. You have any other I believes?
I believe.
I'm retiring, by the way, from arguing about the four-team college football invitational. Today is the last time I will ever argue about the four-team college football invitational. I'm dead serious.
Well, it's because it's over.
It helps.
Yeah, but
it helps a lot.
This week, it still may come up.
It's not coming up again. I'm done. Put a muzzle?
I think the conversation, the thing about the injured quarterback stuff, and when I said that, I did not even realize that it's in their bylaws. It is in their bylaws.
I hate how it's only quarterbacks, though. Like, Texas should be in. This isn't a Texas thing. I think Texas should be in. Jonathan Brooks is out for the year. I don't know the status of Xavier Worthy. Those are pretty critical pieces for the Texas Longhorns. And I do think Texas should be in. Texas would be in my Final Four. I would have Florida State 3. I would have Texas 4. Alabama would be out. I would have left the SEC out.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. Like, I would have left Alabama and put in Florida State.
If we're going off resume. Now, if we're going off best... Georgia's in my Final Four.
Head-to-head matters, too.
That's why I have Texas ahead of Alabama.
No matter where it happened in the season, head-to-head has to mean something.
But that's why Texas had to have Alabama beat Georgia. Because if Alabama doesn't beat Georgia, well, Texas's best win's a two-loss Alabama team that's eighth instead of fourth. Like, if that does not happen, Florida State would have been in ahead of Texas.
And I believe the University of Houston made a absolutely fantastic hire, and Willie Fritz will have the Cougs in the 12-team playoff in the next 3 years.
Mm. I think they made a great hire as well, and I saw some people trying to take like pot shots at him, which were just ridiculous to me. Because
what were the pot shots?
That in terms of what they did and who they played and how they got there, and I saw a couple people tweeting. It's like, look, he coached the schedule he was given, and he coached up every team that he had, and he's done a ton of good things, and it's not just a one-and-done situation, like 1 year and a fluke. He keeps doing it, mm-hmm. and I think he was the perfect fit at the right time for the
U of A. I think they hit a home run, too. I think it was a great hire. He won at Bland, a couple national titles. JUCO, yeah, but still, he won. Won at Central Missouri, went to two national championships at Sam Houston, a bowl team at Georgia Southern, and then Tulane. I mean, he won a New Year's Six game at Tulane, which is not an easy place to win. Should we sneak in Art here real quick, Joe? Let's do it real quick. Let's go to Art on the HRMP listener line. Art, you're in the Hive. What's up?
Hey, guys. I think the committee got it halfway right. Obviously, Florida State is not – if you had $1,000 to bet right now, you wouldn't bet it on Florida State to win if they were in the four.
Mm-hmm.
And I think on the other side, it seems like Washington just got the benefit of the doubt of playing on Friday, and they were, like, automatically in. Like, were they even in the argument? If you look at their record, they won so many games with under a touchdown. They barely got to get, you know, scraped by against Oregon State, Washington State. I mean, if I'm picking the top four, it's Michigan, Georgia, Texas, and Alabama, right? Like, it's not Washington either. Why did the Pac-12 that's disintegrating get favoritism, I guess, over the ACC or anything like that?
We appreciate it, Art. The Pac-12 was loaded this year.
Mm-hmm.
It was loaded. Washington's schedule, like, week in, week out. Like, were they against Pac-12 teams? Yeah, they were against Pac-12 teams, but they're undefeated. Like, I don't think there was any doubt that, like, they should have been in ahead of Florida State.
No, and you get a Heisman Trophy candidate, and you've got a team that was, for most of the season, exciting to watch. And the things that they were doing, in like you said, in a conference that had USC that was, you know, for the early part of the season, you had the Heisman Trophy winner at quarterback, and you had everybody thinking USC was going to be there at the end of the year until you saw how bad their defense was. But you saw USC, you saw Oregon, you saw Washington. The conference really was overachieving. They had a ton of good teams, unlike what they've had in the past. I think Washington's a very deserving team in that Final Four.
And I'm cool if you want to tell me best four. But if you're going to tell me best four, I still believe Georgia's one of the best four. Even though they lost to Bama, they lost by 3 points, their kicker missed a kick, they lost the turnover battle, and they outgained Bama. I think if Georgia-Bama played 10 times, Georgia wins 7.
There's an argument for everyone who made it to be out this year, and that's why it's great, because even if you
look at... It's not great. College Football Invitational is the stupidest thing ever. The only thing that's stupider was the two-team playoff.
Yeah. Right now,
they were getting a real playoff.
We feel like all four teams could win it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think there's the most parity that we've seen in a college football play.
I mean, Michigan's favored versus Alabama. A lot of people disagree with that, but I think it's the right move.
It's a point and a half?
For four.
I bet you Michigan would have rather played Florida State.
Oh, so, you saw their...
To Art's point.
You
saw their fan base react.
Yeah, which I'm cool going
the
best
team
four.
Reaction.
I'm cool
yeah, that whole
best
room.
Four. I don't prefer best four. I prefer resume over best four, but if you're telling me it's best four, then you shouldn't leave out Georgia. All right, 713-780-3776. Mailbag Monday. You can ask the Killer Bees whatever you want to ask. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, I want to tell you about the good people at Allstate Siding and Windows. And the reason why I want to tell you about them, they're the best in the business. And the fact of the matter is, if you're a homeowner, that is your most valuable and prized investment. You got to take care of it, just like you take care of anything else. You got to take care of it by making sure it's protected, that it's going to be able to withstand the weather, the heat, the cold weather, the hurricane season. And the way you do that better than anybody else is you go to Allstate Siding and Windows. It's the best upgrades you can do, because if you go for the siding, there's no more painting and staining and repairing the outside of your home. The siding does all that for you. It protects and creates that outer shell around your biggest investment. If you want to go to the windows the same way. They protect. They keep the storm and weather elements out. They keep the cold weather in and the air conditioning in the summer. They keep the heat in the winter, and they keep you protected from the high winds of the hurricane season. The reason why I'm telling you about Allstate Siding and Windows is because they're the best in the business. They've been in Houston. They know Houstonians. They know the weather, and they know their jobs. They know their products. They know what's best for you. Mary and her staff, they're phenomenal, and they're going to make sure that they come to your house, tell you what's going to be the best fit for you and for your house, and the best prices are there, the best deals are there, and the best services there. Call them today and see if they can help you out with either siding or windows. 832-204-1936. That's 832-204-1936. Set up an appointment. Have them come out to your house. Let them tell you how they can help and make your house better and protect your investment more. They're also available on online. Check them out all the time at allstatesidingandwindows.com.
It's a bag.
Mommy? Mommy?
What's in the bag?
What's in the box?
All right, time for our Mailbag Monday. You can ask the Killer Bees whatever you want. 713, within reason, within reason. 713, I know how some of you behave. Within reason. 713-780-3776. Is Stroud taking too many sacks? Ask a texter.
I don't think so. I mean, I think it's football. I think you know what it's a product right now.
I promise you it is that.
Yeah, and it's a product of the fact that the offensive line is beat up. It's depleted. We know that what's happened already to this offensive line. And I think that because of the fact that, yeah, you can argue, do they have enough backups and did they plan accordingly? But for the most part, they're doing the best that they can, and so is he. Ideally, you never want your quarterback to get touched, but you can't be realistic and play football, especially at the level that they're playing at, and not understand that he's going to take some hits.
I think that they're more on the either offensive line shifts and things like that, and the offensive line than it is Stroud. I don't really look at many of these sacks. Now, there were some 2 weeks ago, and I haven't watched the tape on this one yet. I don't put a whole lot of the last few on Stroud. Now, in the game against Jacksonville, he probably had one or two where it's like, look, it's going to be a negative play, but it's better to have an incomplete pass as opposed to a loss of seven. I haven't seen a lot of them. I've seen them sprinkled into a couple of games in the last few. When you look at four sacks this week, I think it was maybe three or it was five sacks this week. I think it was four sacks against Jacksonville. I would only put one or two on Stroud.
Yeah, the bigger thing is he getting hit by free blitzers where no one on the offensive line is even touching him? Because that's what should worry you most. The fact that he is going to try, he's trying to make plays and those things are going to happen. What you don't want is the guys that run free and take just, whopper shots on your quarterback.
Yep. 713-780-ESPN. What's your question for the Killer Bees? Ocho says, do you think Noah Brown will be targeted more with Tank Dell out? Asking for fantasy reasons.
I think there's a pretty good chance. I think that you're hoping that Noah Brown becomes back to being the Noah Brown of a few weeks ago when he put back-to-back career numbers up in games for this team. I don't think that's realistic to expect that every week, but obviously you should expect his numbers to go up.
Yeah, the answer is yes. I think the better question, though, Ocho, is which Texan other than Nico Collins benefits the most? Because now you're talking about either Noah Brown, Robert Woods, John Mechie. I would have Brown. Robert Woods was wide receiver 4 yesterday. He was on
That's
the
crazy.
Field. I mean, Tank got hurt early, so it's tough to look. But Robert Woods played less than Noah Brown and less than Nico Collins, obviously. Would have played less than Tank. So Robert Woods was your distant 4. John Mechie was sprinkled in a little bit. I think Noah Brown over Robert Woods, John Mechie from a fantasy perspective.
Yeah, I agree with that. Because I think that I saw at least signs during the game yesterday. They were trying to see if Mechie could be, fill into Tank's role. And they just realized real quick, he's not ready and he's never going to be as quick as Tank to try and do the things that Tank can do.
He's got some work to do.
Yeah, I don't think he's catching the ball like he used to either.
He also, this is 12 games into his season. How much better is he going to get by the end of the year?
No, I think it's next year or bust. Right. I don't think it's going to happen this season.
I still think he has a lot of room for improvement. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's coming in the final five games.
Agreed.
I think he'll be better by week 17 than he is today, but by leaps and bounds, I don't know. There was a couple plays for Mechie yesterday that I was pretty disappointed in. Eager to watch those on film a little bit later. Lamont, is Bobby Slowik overrated?
I don't think so at all. I think he's still learning. I think we've seen this in terms of game planning in certain games, like Carolina. We've seen this in personnel use, whether you agree with it or not, and what happened to Tank and some other situations. But I think that, it's on-the-job training for a guy that obviously has a very creative mind offensively. And when he's cooking really, really well. It's just that this is part of year one of the first time ever he's calling plays.
I think that's it more than anything else. I think you hit the nail right on the head. I think that he's good. I mean, the Texans are 6th in the NFL in offense. That's really, really good. And you have to give credit to the offensive coordinator with a rookie quarterback that has completely turned around a team that was dreadful offensively last year into the 6th best offense in the entire NFL this season. Now, While they're sixth in yards per game, they're ninth in scoring. So it kind of sometimes fizzles out when they get into the red zone, which is a concern. Sometimes he does do some things that I think are a little bit too cute. Like he tried to drop a touchdown or a throw the other day to Laramie Tunsil.
Yeah.
It's like, just go play ball, man. You got a pretty good offense. The Tank Dell thing is something you can be critical about. Using your little bitty itty receiver in the middle of a box on a halfback dive. Yeah, I get it's football and that bodies are going to be moving around and that it's a fluke injury. At the same time, you brought in your little itty-bitty receiver into the box. So I think sometimes he gets a little too cute. I agree with you that it's because he's a first-year offensive coordinator. I think with time, all that stuff kind of gets ironed out.
Yeah, and look, we also scrutinized when they were hell-bent on forcing the run, when the run wasn't working and very effective them for a couple of weeks, and realizing it's okay to go to your strength and use the pass game more when the pass game was working as well as it's been working all year.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. All right, 713-780-3776. 9780, why is Pierce getting twice as many carries as Singleton? It's ridiculous.
I mean,
it's a great question.
It is a great question.
It's weird, though, because Singletary played a lot more. He was on the field way more.
Yeah, and we weren't talking about it last week. We knew that neither one of them got they were playing a little bit more of the passing game and trying to play catch up, but both guys were on the field. It's just you were wondering. I was expecting a huge dose of Singletary and just sprinkles of Pierce.
Same. Yeah, and I thought Pierce. Did you see the. Did you see the first play of the second half where Pierce took a play action and took it out of the hands of C.J. Stroud? It was supposed to be a play action RPO, passing play. Not even RPO. Like, it looked like a straight play action. Not even an RPO. Because RPO, you can make sense of it.
You can pull it.
Yeah, RPO kind of makes sense. Like, you have some disagreement sometimes running back, halfback. This was a play action pass. And every other player on the Texans offense, all 10, stared at Damian Pierce like he stole something from their locker. He took the handoff on a play action. It was hilarious.
Low S Tui,
Damian Pierce. He had a couple of good runs, but yes, it shouldn't be Singletary getting Pierce getting way more carries than Singletary. Doubled them almost, 15-8. Singletary did maybe play more snaps though. Yeah, I give Singletary the ball more than Pierce. I would agree with that. 0002, is dill pickle the goat over its sour counterpart or sweet pickles? Okay, dill pickle or sweet pickle.
Dill? See, for me, the I've said this before, the bread and butter chips, the sweet
yeah.
chip pickles are awesome.
I don't love sweet pickles. It's weird to me. Like, it kind of tastes foreign. Like, it shouldn't happen. Like, when I bite into a pickle, not that I do this often, I think it should be sour instead of sweet.
Well, in the Midwest, you get your steady dose of every version of all the different versions of pickles, and the sweet chips on a burger are pretty damn good.
Yeah. I mean, I know people that like it. I think that it's kind of a popular opinion. Can I give you my hot dog hot take?
Sure.
Do you put ketchup on your hot dog?
Absolutely.
I do, too.
Man, come on. You're asking me?
I do, too, actually.
I know.
Sweet relish does not belong. That should
completely
be,
agree.
That should be dill relish.
I don't believe any relish belongs on a hot dog.
Okay, but if you had to go one, sweet relish on a dog or dill relish on a dog, I believe, and if you go to any concession stand, every single time it's sweet relish. There's never dill relish. Mm-hmm. It should be flipped. It should always be dill relish instead of sweet relish. Cash it or trash it.
I mean,
like relish. So
I don't.
You can kind of take yourself out
of this.
I think
you should let people have their decision for either one, though.
Okay, so I would go dill 99% of the time, or I guess like 90%, because I think the sweet relish does work best on a traditional Chicago dog.
I could see that.
With like the pepper, the onion, the salt, all that stuff. It works there, but like if it's not on a straight Chicago dog with all the other elements, I'm dill.
Are you a kraut guy?
I do. I love
sausage. I like kraut, too.
I hate it.
Love it.
That's what I think doesn't belong on any hot dog or sauce.
I didn't think that I would like a Chicago dog, and I did. I also didn't think I was going to like deep dish Chicago pizza.
It's good.
Why didn't you like the dog? Because of the peppers?
I don't know. I really couldn't tell you. I was like, this does not look appetizing to me. And then I tried it because I was in Chicago. And what do you do in Chicago? You get deep dish and a Chicago dog and wings from Pequod's. And I like the Chicago. I like the Chicago
wings, man. You are a
dude. The wings from Pequod are fantastic. So, so good. There's one more I wanted to do. Oh, Honey Glazed Branham says, do you think that Michael looks like Greg McElroy?
A little bit.
Yeah, I never thought of it before, but that's a good call.
Yep.
What do you think?
Well, he says no.
Oh, he's in there?
I say yes.
I think it's a compliment. Greg McElroy's a good-looking man.
Greg got caught talking out both sides of his mouth over the weekend.
Apparently Herb Street did too.
They all did, because they all said Florida State's in if you win out. And then today it was like very clear, hey, company line is that things changed.
Well, because Herbie had the tweet, right? Stop worrying about it if you're Florida State. Just handle your business and win out, and you'll be fine.
We're getting crushed for putting ketchup on our hot dogs.
All what? Right.
I knew that was coming, too. I really did. All right, NFL game balls. Who deserves a game ball for their performance over the weekend in the NFL? 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, right now, before we go to the break, I want to tell you about the good people at MyBookie. Look, there's still a football game tonight, and Monday Night Football becomes a lot more entertaining. Yeah, it's Bengals and the Jags, but it can be more entertaining if you put some money down on it, and you could possibly benefit and actually profit from watching a football game. You do hit MyBookie.ag because they're the best in the business. They've been in business a long time, so they're going to take care of you. Your money ain't going anywhere, and they're going to always be focused on you, the customer. They're doing it again right now, from your initial sign-up bonus to your match bonus. They're doing the kind of things that make it even better to go into mybookie.ag when you want to put bets down. They have all the sports and all the time, all the in-game betting. But the biggest thing you need to remember is the code that we use, which is bet975. When you use that code bet975, you put anything from $50 to $1,000 in your account, they're going to double it instantly. That means more money in your account, more games you can bet on, and more chances you can win. It's absolutely fantastic. They take care of you. And when there's no games going on, live dealers standing by for blackjack, for casino games like poker. And that way you can always have a chance to win some coin. That's why we always tell you to go to mybookie.ag and never forget our promo code bet975, because they are customer focused. And there's so much more there. There's all the chances you can get to spin the wheel and get involved in some crazy odds. But the main thing you know is when you go there, they're going to treat you right. They're going to protect you, but they're going to take care of you with deals and bonuses like the ones they got going on now. Use that promo code bet975. But as I always tell you, bet anything, anytime, anywhere. With the only place I tell you to do it, it's mybookie.ag, and use that promo code bet975.
Blank, I'm Branham. It's time to hand out NFL game balls. 713-780-3776. Who are you handing out game balls to? Blankers.
First one to me, and there's multiple people that you could pick in this game, but I'm going to go with Debo. I'm going to go with Debo Samuels because he backed it up, because he was quick to, you know, jaw with the Eagles players and get into all of that and wasn't backing down from it, and he stepped up. And he backed it up every step of the way, 3 touchdowns. He looked like he couldn't be stopped. He's such a unique and unbelievably physical football player that he beat you in the run game, he beat you in the pass game, and he got 3 touchdowns. That was pretty impressive.
Yeah, he was really good, but I think that the most valuable player in that game, that might be the most valuable player in the NFL this season, is a guy who's pretty good.
Betting favorite now.
Pretty good.
Is he the betting head of Dak?
Yes, he is. I saw it today. It is +300 Brock Purdy, yep. +350 Purdy, Jalen Hurts, and good. Dak Prescott.
Got that email.
Wow, he's the favorite?
Yep.
Could you imagine Mr. Irrelevant winning the MVP? That's what movies are made of.
I can't wait. Kurt Warner story that's coming to a Hallmark channel near you.
Side note. Watch that movie this weekend.
Was it bad?
It sucked.
Why did you watch that movie this
weekend? It keeps showing up on TikTok, and I'm like, let me give it a shot.
Watched the movie on TikTok?
No, like clips of the movie show up on TikTok. So I'd watch the whole thing. It's so bad. It's one of the worst sports movies I've ever seen in my life.
Why did you sit through the whole thing?
I'm a pot committed kind of guy. Once I'm 30 minutes in, I'm going to finish it.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way.
I'm with you as well.
Oh, I can't believe you even tried to watch that.
I know. What a mistake.
You know what? You just made the list.
I'm always on the list.
You just made the list.
I am the list.
The Kurt Warner. I opened up the doc. Joe, for watching a lousy movie.
So if you already know you're probably not going to like it, you forced yourself to sit through. How long was it?
What was it called?
I don't even remember. I think it was less than like 2 hours.
Let's see what Rotten Tomatoes gave it. Now I'm curious.
I bet you...
Was it from...
Well, I need to know the movie name.
48%.
Well, I need to know the movie name.
Just Google Kurt Warner
movie. I did, but it's 2 steps. American Underdog. Let's see here. Rotten Tomatoes gives American Underdog... What? 76?
Stop.
They got a tomato meter 76 and an audience score 98. Is it a bad take because you said it was bad?
I thought the movie was awful.
I was blown away that how poorly you talked about it, that it got a 76 tomato meter.
I did not think... I said 48%.
You kind of knew the details of the story without having to watch it again, right?
Wow, yeah.
From checker at a grocery store.
The guy who played Kurt Warner is in The Wire.
Yes.
That's funny. What was he on the... He was like... he's that Irish name.
Kurt Warner should have been a Bear.
Okay.
He was the Packer backup.
No. He was supposed to try out for the Bears. He got stung by like a... Or bit by some kind of spider while he was on his honeymoon, so he couldn't try out for the Bears, and they passed on him and ended up with the Rams.
That's weird.
Yeah,
that's bizarre.
I mean, well, didn't he was the backup for the Packers first.
I don't think so.
Yes, he was.
You should have watched the movie a little closer.
I don't think the Packers part of the story was in there.
I'm just telling you, he was a backup for the Packers.
Enough Kurt Warner. Speaking of the Packers, I'm giving my first game ball to Jordan Love. Love in his last three games. How do you not love him if you're a Packer fan? 857 yards in his last three games. That's nearly 300 a game. 8 touchdowns in his last three games. It's nearly 3 a game. 0 picks, 3-0 record. The Packers have their franchise quarterback. But it's not the numbers. Do you know what Jordan Love did yesterday? He is the first quarterback in history to beat the Kansas City Chiefs when Taylor Swift has been in the building.
Mm-mm.
Jordan Love gets my game ball. Jordan, I'm not going to make a bad Love joke there. All right, Joe.
Kurt Warner was never on the regular season roster for the Packers. Mike Evans, he is absolutely incredible. Players with at least 11,000 receiving yards and 90 reception touchdowns in their first 10 seasons in NFL history. Jerry Rice, Randy Moss, Marvin Harrison, Mike Evans.
Houston Texan next year, yes or no? Do you want him to be, yes or no?
Oh, yes.
Do you want him to be, yes or no?
I think I would.
Yes.
I would take him in a heartbeat.
I'm going to say yes and yes.
I would take him in a heartbeat. There's a lot of people, whenever the Texans play Tampa Bay, oh, we don't need that washed guy. We got Nico Collins. Cool, have them both. Wouldn't it be cool to have Mike Evans and Nico Collins and then Tank running around? That would be fantastic. He's good, man.
Yeah, I'm gonna say yes, he'll be a Texan.
Automatic, too. It's like an automatic 6 or 7 catches, automatic nearly 100 yards, automatic touchdown. It seems like every single game for Mike Evans. All right, what's your next game ball here, Blankers?
I'm going to say the Indianapolis Colts, Gardner Minshew, the fact that you come back in overtime, and as much as it's painful for Texans fans, the fact that they went down 3 in overtime and then just kind of stepped up, sucked it up, went right down the field, marched right into the end zone, and got themselves another win. The whole story's been improbable. The fact that Indianapolis keeps winning with Gardner Minshew, shocking to me. But it shows you how much the value of a backup quarterback can be.
Titans aren't very good. Levis got in an argument with Hopkins, which I kind of love to see. But then threw a touchdown to him. Ryan Tannehill. Somebody said that Ryan Tannehill should get a game ball. Ryan Tannehill cost him the game. If Ryan Tannehill puts down a decent hold on that field goal, or was it? It was an extra point.
That was Nick Foles.
It was the extra point.
Nick Foles was kicking and bunting because the punter got hurt.
And then they fired the special teams coach.
They did,
over. I thought Michael Pittman was the best player in that game yesterday, though. 11 catches, 105 yards, a touchdown.
That's another one that.
Another free agent.
If it's not Mike Evans. Agent.
He intrigues me with his talent.
You think he'd be cheaper?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, man.
I think he might be.
I don't know. That's a great question.
He's shown in spurts he's a really good player, but his quarterback play has been so bad. His numbers are not there compared to other guys.
You put Michael Pittman next to C.J. Stroud, Nico Collins, Tank Dell, draft a Devon Achane in the draft. Texans offense, top 3 next year.
It's possible.
I think I would take Pittman over Evans. Now,
for sure.
For longevity, right?
Both.
And explosive. Well,
I don't think the contract.
Mike Evans has been pretty explosive this year.
I don't think that the AAV is going to be as big for Pittman. Because I think Evans is going to sign like a 2-3 year deal, probably for like some good money, AAV wise. I think Pittman probably has a bigger total dollar.
I really do
on his contract.
I feel like he is going to be the free agent that falls perfectly in the middle of the two guys we talk about the most.
If you told me they signed Michael Pittman, I would love it.
Yeah, his contract will fall between Higgins and Evans. It'll be somewhere in the middle of what those two guys get.
I think they like that.
I don't think so.
You think he's closer to Higgins?
No, I think he's third.
You think he's third behind
AAV, I think he's third. I don't think Pittman gets as big an AAV as Evans.
Maybe.
Now, I think total contract, Pittman gets more. That'd be an interesting bet. Coffee. I would make a coffee bet with you, but I win coffee bets and you get coffee for Blankers.
I'll bring you coffee tomorrow.
I'm going to give another game ball to Jared Goff. 2 touchdowns. This guy should be in your fantasy football lineup. He is he's probably winning you week 13 fantasy football games by himself. So he should be in your fantasy lineups each and every week. Also, Sam Laporta, 9 catches, 140 yards, a touchdown. Someone said that he got him 26 points in fantasy football. Could have been a Houston Texan.
How about a game ball to anybody that stomached the entire game of the Chargers over New England 6-0?
That's a good one, but I also would question their intelligence.
Or you have to really salute their loyalty.
Yeah.
Like when we were talking about Fandemonium, Like, if you didn't leave your team's side after having to endure
that's a good call. A fan of one of those teams, game ball, if you stuck through that.
Yep.
If you're a neutral fan of football and you watch that game, then you need to give your football card back.
You're an idiot.
You got to get your football card back.
Or you better get red zone and league pass.
Devon Achane deserves a game ball, too. He should be automatic in your fantasy lineup. 73 total yards, 2 touchdowns. All right, Joe.
Matt Stafford, 3 touchdowns this
you
weekend.
Called this.
Like, they're in the playoffs now. They look good on offense.
Puka went nuts again, too, didn't he?
Yeah, 4
he
catches and a tutty, yeah.
6-rounder?
Oh, yeah, I think
he is,
so.
And look, sorry to the people in the room that might be with me, but
us
I heard
or Twitch.
Michael Connor,
oh.
I think it was his show, called Tank Dell to steal the draft. I'm sorry. It's Puka.
That's fair.
Like, Tank Dell might be number 2.
You get a value that late in the draft, that's pretty impressive. But
I think it's fair. And Puka
is a number 1 wide receiver.
You think Sean McVay would use Tank Dell to block in the box on a halfback dive from inside the 5-yard
line? Probably not.
Just ask.
He also might quit after the season.
Do you think Sean McVay would say that's abusive to treat a little itty-bitty wide receiver who's your most electric? Do you think Sean McVay's going to quit after the season?
No.
No.
And the rumors have happened for the last 2 years. It's going to happen again.
But he drives them all because he thinks about TV and he thinks about family and he thinks about all these other things.
He would
but
be
at
great.
The end of the day, I think he'd be really good on TV too.
He'd be great on TV. He'd be really, really good. All right, 713-780-3776. I saw a lot of people saying that the Texans' offense yesterday was meh, not very good, average, mediocre, poor. I disagree with all of that. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.